The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to the Lord's house on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost. All heaven rejoices every time one of us repents. Today is Sunday School Rally Day, beginning of a new Sunday school year and a new study of the scriptures. Today will be focusing on what, no matter what age you are, you'll be focused on a mighty wonder, teaching us the our purpose in God's creation. A youth group is serving a barbecue lunch immediately after Sunday school and Bible class today. Everybody's invited to stay and enjoy that. Thank you to some musicians who didn't get listed in the bulletin, and I apologize for that. Luke and Calla will be playing during the offering, and Hannah will be playing during the service also. LWML meets Tuesday at 6:30. The youth group trip to the escape room that was planned for today has been postponed. Are there any other announcements or prayers? Nathan.
We are working on the 2020 budget for our church. So there is a hot pink budget questionnaire on the table out on your way out. I do not ask for any names. I do not ask for any dollar amounts. But it's a very short questionnaire. If you wouldn't mind, it's totally optional. Filling that out, there's a little box right next to them, and you can just drop it in there. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. Thank you.
That'll help those folks as they prepare next year's budget to know whether we're going to be a little more income, a little less income, about the same income. Jamie.
And, Building Exploratory Committee, it's in the announcement. If you want to be part of that, contact either myself or Ken Ball. Thank you.
And they're looking at, should we expand, and if so, how? Any others? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. Our Lord's blessing on worship this day, and to know that He will bless us as the shepherd comes rejoicing over every sinner who repents. The Divine Service, page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may kneel or sit for confession. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Curiae, page 152. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty. Lord be with you.
And also
let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd without whom nothing is secure. Rescue and preserve us that we may not be lost forever, but follow you, rejoicing in the way that leads to eternal life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So I will seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And then I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountain of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture? And to drink of the clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. You turn my wailing into dancing. I will give you thanks forever. O Lord my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life among those who go down to the pit. You turned my wailing into dancing. I will give you thanks forever. Sing praise to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You turn my wailing into dancing. I will give you thanks forever. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You turned my wailing into dancing. I will give you thanks forever. The epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy, because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the worst, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Oh, the gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I've found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Jesus sinners doth receive.
The word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is the gospel for the day from Luke chapter 15, where Jesus tells two parables. You may want to pull out your bulletin insert. We'll take a look at those as we go through the sermon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord, Jesus Christ. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. In other words, Jesus was passing mashed potatoes and roast beef down the table to embezzlers, to thieves, to prostitutes, to the dregs of society, to the first century equivalents of, Charles Manson, the perpetrators of 9/11, child pornographers. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Yeah, considering the kind of company Jesus was keeping, you can see why they were complaining. I wonder if they would complain that Jesus hangs out with people like you and me. Or are we like the Pharisees? Do we try to cover up our sins? Doesn't matter, your Lord knows them. You have lived as if God didn't matter and as if you mattered the most. your name, his name, you have not honored as you should. Your prayers, your devotion life has faltered. You have sought your own pleasures instead of asking, what does God say is good for me and good for the people around me? You gossip about other people. You put your needs first instead of theirs. Your thoughts, your deeds, your words are all soiled with sin. I know this because the Word of God says it about you. You know it about me because the Word of God says it about me, too. Well, I guess we can deny it, like the scribes and the Pharisees did when they complained to Jesus that he was hanging out with sinners, as if the scribes and the Pharisees weren't sinners. You can pretend you don't need Jesus' sacrifice for you. Then you'll end up in hell, right where we all deserve to be. Or you can repent. You can admit that you need Jesus just as much as that Christian killer, the one who wrote today's epistle, who told Timothy, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. You catch that? I'm the worst, Paul says. He's placing himself beneath the likes of Adolf Hitler and Charles Manson and the perpetrators of 9/11. Because Paul understands the reality that he has ruined his relationship with his Creator by a single sin. And he's committed a whole lot more than a single sin. And so he repents. Your Lord wants you to repent. That's what this text is about. He wants the Pharisees and the scribes to repent. And so he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And the Pharisees, the disciples, and especially any shepherds who are listening go, no, Jesus, no shepherd does that. He's not going to leave behind 99 good sheep out in the middle of the field where they are going to be attacked by predators just to go in a possibly vain attempt to rescue one lost sheep. He can't risk his whole flock for the sake of one. No, Jesus, you just have to say this is the cost of doing business. Maybe I can get a tax write-off for this lost sheep. And if any shepherd is crazy enough to go after the one and leave behind the 99, he's not going to be stupid enough to let his employer, the owner of those sheep, know about his what would you call it, reckless behavior by, as Jesus says, coming home, calling together his friends and his neighbors and saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. What a stupid story, the Pharisees must be thinking. And it's almost as stupid as the next story he tells about the loopy lady and her silver coin. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. And every woman here ought to be going, no, Jesus, that is not the way I do it. If I lose a quarter, I do not go searching inch by inch through my whole house until I find it. Probably under the stack on my husband's dresser. Or under the dirty clothes in my teenager's bedroom. And if you do find your lost coin, do you send out save the date invitations and say, come on, we're going to have a big party to celebrate the fact that I found a quarter? People don't do it that way, but God does. He's the loopy lady who rejoices over finding a single coin, over one sinner who repents. He is the good shepherd, the shepherd who refuses to write off even one lost lamb as some kind of a cost of keeping care of this world. Now, if I were God, I would say, look, I sent into this world the good shepherd, and he laid down his life for the sheep. And now these sheep They keep wandering away from me. They keep ignoring me. They follow their own desires instead of what I tell them is good and right for them. I cannot spend my time going and searching for them time after time after time. I've got too much else on my mind, too many other sheep to care for. I'll just have to let them die. That's how I would do it. Thank God that is not how he does it. Your Lord seeks out every lost sheep, and that includes you. Do not push him away or run whenever he comes to lay you on his shoulders and take you home, which is to say, do not think in your mind, oh, I don't really need Jesus. At least I don't need him as much as some of those people, you know, like the people in prison need Jesus. I'm not as bad as Paul, the Christian killer. I'm not even as bad as some of the people in my family. You should see some of them. Here's our problem whenever we start doing that. Picture life as a vast ocean. We're all out in the middle of the ocean. We're swimming. There's not any land in sight. And every time you disobey your God, do something he tells you not to do, or don't do something he tells you to do, it's like adding a pound of weight to you that's pushing you down and drowning you in the sea. Now let's say Hitler. He killed 6 million Jews. So let's say he has 6 million pounds pushing him down to drown him. But you're way better than Mr. Hitler. You haven't sinned that much. You only have, let's say, 1,000 pounds pushing you down. That's way better than him. Now you tell me, who's going to drown? Hitler with 6 million pounds pushing him to the bottom of the ocean, or you with 1,000 pounds pushing you to the bottom of the ocean? We're all going to drown in our sin. It doesn't matter whether we've wandered 100 yards from the shepherd's fold or 100 miles. If the shepherd does not come and seek us out, we are going to die. And if God used our logic, he would just let us die. He'd let the devil, who's prowling around like a roaring lion, devour us. But God doesn't use our logic. He welcomes sinners. He eats with us. He invites you and me to repent and believe that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, even the worst of sinners, even the likes of you and me. He invites us to repent. Repentance is not what happens at the beginning of your Christian life. It's what happens every day of your Christian life. You know what the very first of Luther's 95 theses was? When Christ our Lord says repent, he means that the entire life of the Christian is one of repentance. It never stops. This takes us back to Jesus' absurd story. 100 sheep, one lost, leaves the 99, finds the one, lays it on his shoulders, goes home, throws a party and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." And everybody says, "No way, Jesus, that's not the way it works in real life." And I think Jesus would say, "You're right. But that's the way God does things, and that's why I'm telling you this parable, to help you understand that God doesn't do things the way you would." See, dear Christians, even if you were the only sheep who has ever strayed from his flock, the shepherd would come in search of you. In fact, he would leave behind all the righteous. He would let every righteous person in the history of this world die rather than lose you. And that is precisely what he did. Only there aren't 99 righteous people in the history of the world. There's only one. His name is Jesus. And he left him out in the open field, abandoned, where predators could hang him on a cross, where he could be devoured by your sin and mine, and pay off our debt, seek out us sheep, and return us to the flock. That's why you and I can keep coming here to this church week after week after week, repenting and believing that we lost sheep have been found. I hope that's why you're here today, because you know that you are a sheep prone to stray, and that your only hope is a good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And you know, this is where Jesus hangs out with notorious evil people. This is where he welcomes sinners and eats with them. This is where he deigns to invite you to dine at his holy table. Speaking of that, our district sends out chaplains into all of the prisons in southern Illinois, including some prisoners where there are some men and women who have committed heinous crimes. And as those chaplains speak the message of God in a place like Menard, sometimes the prisoners hear the word of God. They repent and they believe. If you and I are not willing to put ourselves in the same category of need as those sinners, as the Pharisees, the tax collectors, that Christian killer named Paul, and the notorious criminals at a place like Menard, if we won't repent, then there is no rejoicing in heaven, no matter how good our lives might look on the outside. But dear Christians, if you know that you are prone to wander, if you know you need the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, if you know that Jesus has left the 99 or the one who is righteous and come and sought you out, then rejoice. Rejoice because you have been found by the shepherd. Come to the party, this party, that celebrates how the lost have been reclaimed by the shepherd. Come to this party that celebrates that we who are lost no more. Dine at the table with the rest of us found sinners. Dine with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven that is rejoicing over one sinner who repents. Eat Christ's body, drink his blood, feast on his forgiveness, because as Jesus says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You'd think with all the people who have repented in the history of the world, millions of them, it really wouldn't matter much to God the Father or his holy angels whether there was one more or one less. They've got bigger things to worry about. But in their opinion, they don't have anything bigger to worry about. Every time you repent, God throws a lavish party in heaven for you. So keep repenting, dear Christians. Keep the party going. And hear what Jesus says at the end. I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Notice he didn't say the angels are rejoicing. I don't doubt that the angels are rejoicing, but he said there is joy before the angels of God, in front of the angels of God. So who's in front of the angels of God? Who's leading the celebration? I have a suspicion that it is Jesus, the one, the Lamb, who was slain so that you and I can repent and the party can begin. The one who says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that is lost. And you and I are privileged to be that sheep. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for the Apostles' Creed, page 159. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray to our Lord, who in Christ hears our prayers and turns our wailing into dancing. Loving Father, heaven rejoices when one of us sinners repents. So renew Wendy and Jody and Heidi and each one of us as your baptized lambs. Guard us against self-righteousness that sees no need to hear about Christ and his redemption. Give to us truly penitent hearts that constantly confess and cling to Jesus. Continue to seek us sheep because we're prone to stray. Lord, in your mercy. Shepherd of tender youth, on this Sunday school rally day, we beg you to feed your flock with your promises and teach us your ways. Forgive our neglect of your word and give to each of us an eager desire to gladly hear and learn it. Bless our teachers and students as we grow together as members of your flock, sought and saved by Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, protect us from disobedience, profanity, sexual immorality, deceit, false doctrine, and everything that would defile our lives that you have made holy. Sharpen our attention to your law so that we don't make excuses for our lawlessness or indulge our sinful natures. Instead, grant each of us a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith for the sake of your Son who came into this world to save sinners. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you promised to shepherd your sheep for the sake of Jesus, so seek the lost, bring back the stray, bind up the injured, and strengthen the weak. We beg you to have mercy on Mike, Clem, Scott, John, Nina, Norma, Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Sherry, Kathy, Alvin, Jeanette, Herb, Parker, Stanley, Barry, Hope, Ed, Ingrid, the Martinez family, Reagan, and Mel. Be with those who are recovering from the hurricanes and from other disasters. Give to us generous hearts that are ready to give and help. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you seek out your sheep from all the nations. You gather them into your fold. So be with our missionaries. And remember all refugees who have been displaced from their homes because of threats and violence. Provide for their needs. Grant them security and a home. Watch over immigrants. Grant wisdom to our national leaders as they consider what is best both for citizens and for visitors. Lead us to be good neighbors to all who are far from home. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, as we remember 9/11, remind us always to be vigilant because evil and death surround us. And yet because Christ has overcome the world, do not let us despair. Preserve peace in our land and every nation. Thwart the plans of those who desire violence and war. Give our civil leaders courage to protect the innocent and to punish evildoers. Lord, in your mercy. God of all truth, bless those who labor with gainful employment and adequate compensation. Remember and guide particularly all journalists and members of the media so that they uncover and speak the truth, and so that they serve as a deterrent against the sinful ambitions of humans. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, your Son received sinners, and he ate with them before he went to the cross for us. Bless all of us who eat and drink at his table today. Grant to us repentance as he gives us his own body and blood. Guard us from impenitence and any resistance to your promises. Shower us with forgiveness. Grant us strength to live, not as if we're still straying, but as sheep who've been found. And do the same for your flocks at Unity and St. Mark, our Savior, St. Paul, and Zion churches. Lord, in your mercy. Delighting in heaven's joy over one sinner who repents, we give thanks for all the saints who have gone before us and who now share in the rejoicing around your throne. Preserve each one of us in faith so that we too can look with joy on the Lamb who was slain, whose blood has set us free to be your people. We pray in the name of him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Stand for the offertory, page 159.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
God, you take away the sin of the world.
That lifts the soul to him, faith and hope. Thank you.
Lord has sought and found his sheep. He has given to you a taste of the rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Go in his peace.
Our victor. Our shepherd and our pride, our staff and song.
Jesus, the Christ, and the good shepherd has sought, found his sheep, his hands are in the trust, and he trusts in his ones
as high and joyful sing, infants and all the throng who to the church belong, unite to swell the song to Christ.
Shepherd has sought and found his lost sheep. He has given to you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you've given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.